Recordings of the European honey buzzard are rare, especially at the nest. And now I know why, because I've found that they are not easy birds to work with. In July 2002, I made the first of several 600-mile round trips to the nest site in the north of Scotland, only to spend four fruitless nights stuck in a leaking tent in torrential rain. I returned on the 9th of August with my mic already by the nest 30 metres up in a Douglas fir. And at 4:30 the next morning, I got these very, very quiet calls. My first recordings of a five-week-old honey buzzard as it woke up. As I've said here before, feeding visits are usually the most exciting events at a raptor nest, but as in so many other ways, honey buzzards are different. Visits by the parents were rare, and 7 or 8 hour waits with absolutely nothing happening were the norm. The adult would then arrive silently, drop the food, which was usually part of a wasp's nest, and almost immediately fly away. So I'm afraid to say that this is about as good as it gets. However, this small Scottish population of honey buzzards is the subject of intensive research, and the following day the chick was caught and ringed, enabling me to record the alarm call of the adult female in flight. The noises in the background are members of the team climbing the tree. Later on, she sat in a tree, uttering this typical alarm call to me. Now this is a sound that UK birdwatchers would do well to remember, because the small population of honey buzzards is increasing, and these birds, although very large, are easily overlooked in their breeding habitat. This work was carried out under licence from Scottish Natural Heritage, with essential help from Forest Enterprise and the Highland Foundation for Wildlife. The reason for this interest is that I wanted to know more about their vocalisations, and my colleagues about where this population goes on migration. Sadly, we know a great deal about this particular youngster, because it was also fitted with a satellite transmitter. Its father, also bugged, left the nest area on the 5th of September 2002 and reached Gabon in Central Africa on the 28th of October, where he spent the winter. My youngster, number 21250, left on the 15th of September, and travelling southwest had reached the open Atlantic 9 days later. By the 26th, it had continued in the wrong direction and seemed doomed, being out at sea 250 kilometres southwest of the Azores. However, it then made a dash eastwards for Africa and safety, by which time it had even acquired some media attention, featuring on BBC National Radio. But these remarkable efforts were in vain, for after flying continuously over the open ocean for at least 9 days, it perished in the sea off Madeira on the 4th of October. So sadly, I'm going to end with these unique, mournful begging calls from an individual bird about which we know so much, of a species about which we know so very little.